What's good, people? Pac-Man Scoop, big up, man. What's good, what's good? What's good, people? Big up the Redsmith. Cosm in the house. Let's get these boys in.
Yo.
Hey, man. Like, Rob, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Wow, that was seamless. I was expecting a few more technical difficulties than that.
Nah, we're good.
Good stuff, good stuff. How you boys doing?
Yeah, good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, long time no speak. Hasn't been every day.
Standard. So lazy. You don't do anything. What's going on?
Season the house. Granny Dyer, big up yourself. what's good, people? So, yeah, welcome back to Shotgun the Orcs over IG Live because we're lazy these days. But tonight, yeah, we're joined by two people I've never met before. They definitely need an introduction because none of you have ever heard of them. It's the Velour Falcons. Rob, Mick, how you doing, boys?
Yeah, good, mate.
Chilling. All good.
Yes. So, like, Rob, I should call you Cosm for the podcast, yeah? Yes, Sublingual, big up, man. So, tell me about yourselves, the Velour Falcons. Who are you? How did they come to be? Give us a bit of background.
Mick, you want to do that one?
Yeah, hang on. I'm just putting some Mick and Cosm beats on in the background. Is that too loud?
I'll turn it down so you can take over the... you can shotgun the Orcs on that one, mate.
I feel like that's going to be real distracting.
You just bullied Liquid Swords off, but that's fine.
Imagine that.
Yeah, we've done that old shit.
Egomaniacs.
Now, right. So how did we come about?
It was after the Anthill Mob.
Yeah, so we basically, like, I think off the back of Shotgun the Orcs, we kind of, like, all found out about each other. Me, Mick, and Bucks as well. And then we put together Anthill Mob with Parky on the production. We did that. We dropped that. And then... Bucks kind of like dropped out for a bit. That was cool. We understood. And then me and Mick were like, well, why don't we just carry on just doing some cool shit? But yeah, so we did. And like, I don't know, we had ideas. We didn't want to just do the same old shit. So we had like an idea kind of like sonically that maybe was a bit far-fetched at the time, but bar-wise, we took it to where we wanted to take it. So that was, yeah, so then we came up with a silly name and people liked the silly name. So
let's get on, man, because I know, I've definitely listened to the album, right? Because in the introduction, Mick, you say it's because you're mobbed out and you fly, right? But, so where did the name come from? Because, like, in my mind, I thought Velour Falcons, is that, like, a play on... the four owls, but no. I thought, or is it just a major coincidence, like Velour, the four, and then like bird of prey? Did you think of it?
We could sit here and like make up some shit all day. Like, we could literally like make up some fucking bullshit all day. But at the end of the day, it's just like it's some lush, fucking luxurious shit. Do you know what I mean?
It's that smooth velvet shit, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's not. Yeah, that's it. It's fly, it's mobbed up, it's whatever the fuck we are feeling at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's just what it is. Like, you know what I mean? It just makes sense.
So where are your sunglasses anyway? I was like, specifically gave you instructions to like...
Yeah. Now, the thing is, it's that time of night where I'm too handsome for sunglasses, so I've got to keep it. Yeah.
To be fair, man, yeah, you guys are radiant this evening, it has to be said. But how have you been anyway? Like, Mick, you went to Brixton Jam on Friday night, right? How was it?
Yeah, it was wicked, mate. Yeah, loads of people. I saw Parky there. Lost Electra, obviously, performing. I missed them by 5 minutes because the traffic was fucked trying to get to London, and they were on at 8. It was quite an early gig. But, yeah, I saw those boys after they played. And saw the Lab 7-9 set, which was really good. I had like Mendoza manage, Sammy J was DJing from Mitch FM. I can't remember. Oh yeah, Rain, Skirmish, Another guy who I didn't know, but who did a lot of end of the week stuff. So they did like the freestyle grab bag and stuff, and played a bunch of ancient tracks, which were really good. We saw like Kashmir and Receptor Records.
Oh yeah.
So they were really good. They had Teach.
Like Baron Sinbach and all those guys.
I didn't know. So I think it was Kashmir and
Dean Kakarot on is he Doc Voodoo? Is he on Receptor?
Oh, I don't know. He wasn't there. But I don't know if it's one of those labels that's like, you know, got like 20 people on and they all, you know, just do gigs with like whoever's about.
Nice, mate. Any discoveries of the evening? Like any standout performances?
No, not really. Well, I don't think I'd seen Mendoza perform before. He was really good. And I remember him from the Shotgun and Buzz this year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was sick.
It was cool. I met Flotex as well afterwards. To be honest, me and my mate got there. Like, it started at 8. We got there at 8:30. I chatted to Parky all the way through Kashmir's set. I didn't see Cash. And then we saw, like, Manager's one. And then, because we were, like, running late to get to the gig, we hadn't eaten, so we went outside to get some food. And then it was one of those shows where, like, each one of the support, or, like, you know, each time one of the acts played, they would then just come outside. And then I think Genesis Soldier was basically just playing to Parky and about two other people. So everybody was just chilling outside. Yeah, but it was, like, real good for, like, networking and that kind of thing.
Yeah, man. Rob, where were you?
I went that day. I went and met Hooligan, met Fly Hooligan, just about some art shit. Met him, and then the day after, I was going to Central to go shopping for my birthday. So I kind of like came back from London to go to bed early to wake up to go to London. So I was like, I can't fucking go out full on. Do you know what I mean?
Hooli about?
To come back. But yeah, no, it was cool.
The other side, can you go into that at all or not?
But I wanted to come through and,
I was going to say, man, like, what's going on with Hooli from, you know, your art perspective? That's the Doughboy stuff, right?
Yeah, we're just cooking. We're cooking at the moment. Like, we got some stuff coming. It's kind of be like, it'll be like tied into his Hooli Hansen project. I've seen like some like, you know, booklets and bits and bobs that Souls put together. Souls of Mischief, yeah, put together. It looks dope, like it looks sick. Let's see, but there's more coming. We got ideas for like art show and bits and bobs like that, but it's all kind of hush hush because we're still working it.
Yeah, because you wanted to curate something like all in company
thing, trying to get it all done. Like too quickly, so we're thinking about next year. I hope, but yeah, still just
well, but yeah, you were saying you wanted to do something like all encompassing that kind of involves like music, art, maybe like food, graph, all of that stuff. So yeah, that'd be good if you can get that moving.
I mean, personally, I don't know about this, but like I think. At some point, that's something that, as a community, I think that we can all kind of do with our kind of like relative links with people through this podcast or just through music in general. You know, food, music, graph, I don't know, art. So, not just graph. I'm not saying graph. Graph is one facet. You know what I mean? Like art. You know, lots of good creative outlets that need to be showcased. But I mean, that's something that's, you know, further forward.
Yeah, man, 100%. So, like, before going into the new album Falcon Reader drop last week, what have you both been listening to outside of your own album? Because I know obviously the creative process kind of needs you to you're kind of required to listen to your own shit on repeat a lot, you know, when you're kind of mixing and mastering and involved at that level, but. So taking a break from your own shit, what have you been listening to? There's been some good drops last week, right? Especially in hip-hop.
Yeah. I mean, I think those drops kind of mirrored stuff that we was probably listening to. back when we were creating the album, you know, sort of like that kind of Griselda-y type stuff, you know, that kind of hardest edge type American stuff where we both we sit in there and listen to that kind of vein of music. I think Mick knows a lot more obscure artists than I do. I can't be dealing with
it. So yeah, and then I can never
drive somewhere and he'll come up with these people and go, have you heard of this guy? And I'm like,
so yeah. Well, I can never remember when I'm on the spot.
No.
That's not helpful.
But yeah, no, I'm like, just like, you know, obviously certain English people like, you know, Jugs or Hooli or Sonny Jim, and then like it goes into like the Griselda-y type stuff or Mugs or you know, even older stuff. But that's where I am with it when I'm listening to it.
We got to stop and talk about Sonny's album though for a few minutes, man. Like, why go wasted? Like, what a fucking project that was. It's that's on rotation quite a lot at the moment. He really like, you know, him and the Purists knocked that out of the park, didn't they?
Yeah, this
was so good.
Yeah. Oh, we got a question.
What's surprising is like that album is really, really good. Like, and you can listen to it start to finish without even blinking. It just happens. So the good thing about it is it kind of allows you to want more, because you're hearing like, you know, Doom and you're hearing, I'm not going to say J Electronica because I don't like J Electronica.
What's your beef with J Electronica, by the way? You always say the same thing. I'm always like, you know, I understand he's like polarizing maybe and his output's a little bit like scarce, you know, he doesn't put much music out, but I've always quite liked what I've heard over the years. Like,
I think I like one song.
It was like the Exhibit A and Exhibit C stuff, wasn't it? With
find him like
Just Blaze. Huh?
Shit. I don't find him very entertaining. Like, it's not, I don't know. Like, you can be really basic and finesse a good style. You can. Like, there's lots of rappers that can do that. And I don't think he's someone that can do it. And it makes him come off basic.
Fan of J Electronica, but anyway, yeah, the Doom feature, the Doom verse was stand out. I mean, obviously, aside from that track, you had the likes of Madlib, Primo, and Lee Scott and Milcaveli before he got cancelled, quote unquote. Yeah, so it's just a really like cohesive project. I love like the artwork with the Simpsons on, and like, you know, the cover art, you've got like the Kirk Van Alden tape, you know, that episode of the Simpsons, Can I Borrow a Feeling? I thought that attention to detail was fucking amazing. I missed the drop though, man. I was speaking to my mate, he was just like, did you get it? And I said, man, I meant to set an alarm for like 4 p.m. to get it from Dope, but fuck yeah, I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah, but, it's a wicked project. That and the Rock Nasty project as well, at the same time, that come out the same week.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Alchemist one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And Rome Streets on Friday as well.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Freddie Gibbs, which is obviously like, I mean, a massive Freddie Gibbs fan.
Yeah,
and,
good.
Well, we've been live before as well, and just a whole different energy. But I'm yet to give that project that dropped on Friday like a proper spin yet.
I need to hear it again, I think.
Just, you know. Yeah, definitely. But he was like, I think we spoke about this. I think it was on an episode we did. Can't remember who it was. We were talking to about it. But there's a new film coming out with Freddie Gibbs where he like moves to a farm and like lives in like a little rural. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like an 8 Mile kind of setup, you know.
Oh, well, I thought it was the who showed me the clip of the bloke and he's talking shit all the time. He's got like an afro, like a short afro, and he's there just talking shit to people.
Don't know, man.
That was hilarious, bro. That was something he did. It was like a bit part in either a TV program or something like that, where he just like talk shit at people. Like, yeah, it's just like a Richard Pryor kind of throwback character. It's quite funny. It's quite funny, I think, unless I'm making that up. I tend to make things up, but yeah, interesting.
Yeah, man. So back to the album, Eric Andre, is that it? Yeah.
Who's that?
Eric Andre is funny as fuck though, to be fair, but I don't know if it is him.
I don't know who that is.
He's he does all that really kind of awkward brand of comedy, you know, when he interviews people and fucking baits them. So it's he did that film called Bad Trip that came out on Netflix last year. It was fucking jokes. With Tiffany Haddish, who apparently, she's been cancelled as well. I don't know what for, but yeah, apparently that was pretty fucked up. But anyway, yeah, we digress. Onto the album, because Mick's falling asleep.
He will.
He's just janking out all over the place.
Fucking hell. How are you cooking those bangers with such shoddy equipment then, Mick? Come on. Sort it out. No, man, I don't want to gloss over the fact that those are probably some of your best beats I've ever heard on this new project, man. Like, saying that, like, you know, sincerely, I'm not just taking a piss. But 12 tracks, including an introduction, an intro, and an intermission. And I've liked both of your previous projects in the past, but somehow coming together, the chemistry is like, it just works so well in your favour. Smashed the park. And was that all down to the production, or was that the mix and the mastering on DJ Evidenz's part?
I think it's a combination, really. I mean, I got really lucky. I made all those beats in about kind of 2 or 3 months, and I've been sending lots of beats to Rob since we did the Anth, and then he was kind of like just bouncing off most of them, and then all of a sudden I just got like 10 or 11 beats all came through that we were both vibing with, and I think the production was definitely kind of being quite strong, and then
I think it went Dens, like mixed hand it. Hand, didn't it? Like, I think at the time Mick was like on a production thing, so he would send it to me, and I was on like this silly writing tip where I just keep writing and writing, and then I'd end up having something written, and then it would go in like stages, so we'd do like half of it and then the other half of it. But I'd do 5 tunes, I'd written the 5 tunes, and then I'd kind of send it over, and then that would kind of bounce him back into action, and then he'd be like, all right, cool, and that would complete that set of songs, and then the next load of beats would come and it would happen again. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like we both inspired each other in order to make the end product, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the process. But obviously, like, we don't, it's not overly organic, but it's electronically organic, if you know what I mean, in that sense.
But
that was the process, really. And there's even some beats I didn't like. There was one beat I didn't even like.
Which one was that?
It's on the album.
Nick, go on.
No, and you can remember. I can remember the conversation vividly as well. And I remember not arguing over it, but being like, "Yeah, just do this with it, and then we can use it. Do this with it, and we can use it."
And the Righteous Teacher one?
No. It was Rush the Clock.
What the fuck, man? That beat is fire. What are you talking about?
No, but I was just being, I think, because obviously when we put the idea together and the group together with the sound together, I think that didn't fit my mold. Like, it didn't fit where I was creatively. Like, the other ones that were done at the time probably did, but that one didn't. It didn't make sense to me. So I was like, and obviously you've got to make some sort of concession, because I didn't make the beat and we're in a group, so it's like, okay, well, it's not always about what I like, it's about what Mick likes as well. So I held off on it for a little while, and then I've had more feedback on that tune than the other ones at the moment. So, you know, trust other people probably sometimes.
Yeah, I guess, because if you're like immersed in a song for so long, in a track, an instrumental, you're only ever going to be like, only have tunnel vision, right? But I mean, out of the 3 singles you dropped, obviously 44 Inch Chest was kind of a statement, right? It's a bit of an anthem, bit of a banger. Friday's more of like, much more kind of, it's more of a roller, like quite subtle, do you know what I mean? But it's a nice kind of like, it's a nice track that links the two together, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that Always Sunny somehow was seamless. And Rob, I know you're not a fan of Always Sunny, or don't watch it or whatever. Did you realise where that sample was from?
No, because I don't watch it. Well, now Mick told me. I liked it anyway. Like, it was funny. Like, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, where's it from? And he told me.
Yeah, it's Matthew. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. It's Matthew. I like it. Of course I like it. What? What's not to like? They're Italian. What are you talking about? But yeah, he played it and I was like, yeah, that's good. But yeah. And it was interesting as well with the intermissions or the interludes and the outros and the stuff like that, right? They were taken from a podcast that I'd listened to prior.
Yeah.
And then Mick kind of went digging on his own and found them and was like, oh yeah, I've got this, like Gene Borello and what's the other mate called? Johnny Alight podcast and stuff like that. And he goes, I found a bunch of shit. I'm like, oh shit, like I've been listening to that, but I didn't put two and two together. So it kind of, we were kind of synced up there as well. So that was cool too.
Oh, well, that was from a podcast. I was like racking my brains as to where that was from.
Yeah.
What, that from like a movie? And I thought, nah, that's, it's going to be a deep pull knowing Mick. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I'm digging around there.
Yeah, exactly. Some obscure podcast. So do you both have like a favourite track on the album, or are you sick to death of it now?
Let me answer it. I'm
gonna
think about my answer. Go on.
Yeah, I've not got sick of it yet. And I was talking to Denz a while ago. I was like, I don't know how many times, I couldn't guess how many times I've listened to these beats, from like finding the sample, making the beat, writing to it, recording it, being with Denz and he's mixing it, listening to the mixes, and I still haven't really like got bored of them. But I think my favourite one, I see Jade's put it in the comments. One of Cosm's friends, Artex from Bournemouth, did like a IG live thing yesterday where he reviewed the album or did like his first live listen. I think he'd only heard 44 Inch Chest. And so he just went through the album like track by track, which is really cool. And him and Jade and a couple other people in the stream were all saying Rose Petals. It was probably like one of their favourites.
Yeah, it's the most... It's the most kind of emo track, isn't it? Out of all of them, I'd say Mick, private probably. No, the others are just kind of like, just like greasy fucking mafioso shit, and that's like.
But that, I think, to be honest, that
one with a bit of a heart. But then, yeah. Huh?
That tune's good. I think my verse is quite like, speaking for myself and Mick's point of view as well. Like, I think the verses on there are still the same, in the same vein.
Yeah, I think it's more like sonically the, you know, the kind of the instrumental. Yeah, exactly. Rush the Clock though, video dropped featuring CON verse as well for Last of X. Did I hear an Alan Partridge reference in there? The Corgi Trouser Press.
Yeah.
I was just.
He killed it.
Fucking amazing. Yeah, he absolutely killed it. And he used features on the album really sparingly, just with Con and Lomax, obviously, like the Shotgun the Bars winner from 2021. And yeah, both of those guys absolutely killed it. Did you have those guys in mind when you first dropped the project? Was it kind of, you know,
Cosm's done like some stuff with Four, and then I hadn't heard of Lomax until Shotgun and Buzz, and then we'd sort of kept in touch, like Cosm a bit more so from like chatting on the podcast and that after he won. But yeah, we were definitely like there two of like the kind of hardest beers that we know that we could get and that we could get for free. So we were like, I'll get there because that'll be cheap and it'll be good.
Yeah, man. I mean, both of them are absolute killers. Like, Con is one of the most consistent spitters like at the moment, and Lomax is just like fucking alien, isn't he? It's ridiculous. Like, he's doing some bits with Shorty Horror, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah, he was in the studio.
Carlo,
recently.
Yeah, we're in the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was quite random, but I really.
Is Shorty Horror producing? Is he? Is he a producer as well? Or is he just a wrestler? I don't know.
I'm not sure, man.
I know something's going on.
Anyway, but I know that Max is like, he's sitting on a lot of really, really good material at the moment. And I hope he keeps momentum going because he's seriously talented guy, man. And it was good to hear him on there. Do you know what I mean? I was like looking, it was a great project start to finish, but that Lomax feature popped up, I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And again, it was a nice roller, like all three of your verses just like seamlessly transitions into one another. It was a rigatoni. Yeah. But yeah, go check that. If you haven't heard the album, go and listen to it, because it's like, even though I know these boys and we do the podcast and everything else, like, I was like pleasantly surprised at how like good it actually was. I know that sounds fucking bait, right? But it was. I was honestly like, out of everything that I've heard of you guys so far, this was definitely the most probably like cohesive and enjoyable project to date. Just all the absolutely bangers, the bars were on point. I think like thematically it worked really, really well. Sonically it worked really well. Didn't outstay its welcome. What was it, just over like, I think, what, 35 minutes, 37 minutes?
Oh, yeah, I think it's 35, yeah.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, just a really solid album, Retro. Big up them. Yeah, big up those guys, Authentic Records. Yeah, absolutely killing it at the moment. But yeah, back to Falconry then. So have you guys had many other opportunities for, you know, support at gigs and stuff like that?
We had a couple. I mean, we got some lined up soon. I don't know. You can't really talk about it yet because I don't think they're kind of been... They've not been they've been confirmed to us, but they haven't been completely like put out there yet. So just, but there is some stuff coming. Yeah, I think we got some live bits and bobs coming.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. They're not that far away though. Like a couple of them, I think we could maybe that Bournemouth one maybe, and
the Bournemouth one with the, and then with the Tones coffee shop.
Yeah, I think we're playing like the. Something at the Bear Cave on the 22nd of October in Bournemouth, and we've got a holding court set in High Wycombe at Tone's Coffee Shop on the 4th of November.
Mm-hmm. Holding court, is that Ash's thing?
Well, he performed there last time. But yeah.
I'm not sure whether or not he hosted it at all there. Like, he used to host it at some point, didn't he?
I mean, he's probably got some close association to it, because it's kind of, I think it's Reading, I think. I don't hold me to that, but I think he's got a close association with it. So yeah, he did the last one at Tones. See, look, Mix gone. Narcolepsy again.
Liability.
That's cool.
So I'll probably wait for Mick to come back from wherever he's gone. But what can people expect from a live Velour Falcon show?
We have fun. Like, it's just, I listened to the album today in the car, and I asked earlier, like, what's your favourite song? And I genuinely think I couldn't tell you, because each song, I'm attached to each song differently because of how we do it live. So like I could sit in the car and get a buzz from listening to 44 Inch Chess. Yeah, I can get a buzz from that because I know what it feels like to play it live, and it's mad. Like, for me, it's mad. And I really like playing Ric Flair live because of the way that the hook kind of hits as well. But then also you can go into like Heist as well, the Heist tune. What's it called? What do we call Heist?
Valkyrie Shades.
Yeah, so you know, it's just live. It's you expect like, just jokes. Like, obviously, we're not like straight up serious and stuff like that. People laugh, get people laughing or whatever, get people swearing, you can get people shouting. Like, it's just a lot of fun. Like, we played in Bournemouth when we supported Kashmir. Like, that was sick. Like, the Four Horsemen. Like, you know, I had a lot of my friends come through that we knew, and they all like showed up and represented. And that was nice, you know. And that was a really nice atmosphere. And we kind of get that kind of atmosphere, you know, where we go. So, yeah, it's a good time. But yeah, so that's it. From our point of view. Yeah, but everyone else seems like they're having a good time too. So
it's entertaining. It's like, it's the kind of hip-hop I like to listen to. Doesn't take itself too seriously. It's not too, like, it's not preachy at all. It's not like lyrical miracle. It's just fucking good bars and like entertaining wordplay. It's cinematic, big beats. Oh yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. But I love that, like, Canadian dad reacts, right? He even dropped a video the day before his wedding. That's how dedicated that guy is to UK hip hop. Fucking admirable, my God. The day before his wedding, he's watching your fucking music video reacting to it.
Yeah, he's smashing. Yeah, it was wicked. Like we really appreciate that. Like, we did, I mean, he did two reaction videos, and like, I don't, obviously you don't expect anything from anyone, and like, I thought he would, you know, do one at least. I didn't expect it, but I thought he would do one, because obviously, you know, we spent some time with him, you know, we chat to him a little bit, you know, we built up a relationship. So I thought, you know, he might do one, but he did two. And that was like, you know, something really, really appreciated, because it doesn't happen often that people, that he will do that, because obviously he likes to kind of go here and go there and kind of spread it evenly, because then it keeps the channel kind of ticking over. But to get two in quick succession, like, that was like really, really much appreciated. So, and I like what we said about us as well, so it was good.
Yeah, man. I love like the music video as well, and he called it out. So Mick, you're really like half-assing like the rebrand. Like, Cosm's there, like trying to like trying his hardest to swag things up, and you're there in like a pink sweatshirt, unapologetic as fuck.
Wait. Don't get it twisted. Isn't that sweatshirt for law?
The jacket's for law. The pink one from Russia Clocks, like the thick Adidas one.
Should have just said yeah.
Yeah, but everyone needed the context, obviously, behind that story. But
but yeah, no, whatever. I keep it simple, innit? But that's me. It doesn't matter what. Like, you don't have to be anything you're not to be in a group. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, mix him and I'm me.
I'm a pink jumper wearing motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
Look at a picture that Bucks posted earlier of us four with, you know, us three with Parky. Mick's wearing a flipping woolly jumper, mate, with patterns on it.
You all look like you're in different bands.
It's like, it doesn't, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, we could do like a gangster rap folk album. Doesn't matter. Like, yeah. But yeah, it doesn't matter what you wear, like, whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's the feel, it's the vibe, and like, we're creating entertainment at the end of the day. So if you're entertained, then you're entertained.
So obviously something we talk about quite a lot, getting into like the nitty gritty and being like seen as independent as UK hip hop. What's the reception been like, relative terms, you know, compared to what you used to? Have you had good feedback on the album? What's it been like so far?
Personally,
it's been good.
Yeah, like, this has been the best feedback that we've had. I've had, like, speaking from my personal point of view, like, I've had the same, you know, the normal people that pick us up, you know, so the people that are, you know, that would listen and support, pick us up, that's always welcomed. But then you have, like, other people from further afield, like, that you wouldn't necessarily think to listen to your music. Like, I've had, like, say my brother-in-law and his friends say, no, that's good, like, that's sick, like, the album's good, this is, you know, and then them come to me. Normally they wouldn't do that. The solo stuff's a bit like, I don't know, it's not hit, it mustn't have hit right with them. Even though I'm doing the same thing, really, it must have not hit right. But this, but what we've done together has hit differently. So, I don't know. Did we try hard for this album, do you think?
I don't know, it's a man, because it... This is the one where, like, cause I produced Billionaire, and that took me like years to like hone all the beats and do all the bars and stuff like that. And then this one, even though we started it like just after last Christmas, so like a year and a half ago, and it only just came out, it didn't take very long to make it. And I think yeah, like, kind of getting lucky with the samples and then the way we wrote it, even though, like you said, we were just sending emails back and forth and stuff. I think it did kind of work because we were like bouncing off each other's lyrics, and so it kind of sounds like, I've played it to a few people and they've said, were you writing it together, like in the studio or something, because it kind of gels quite well together. I think probably from doing features with each other and doing the Ant Hill stuff and then doing a few gigs, we have just like kind of, we just know each other a bit better than a lot of people who are working together online, where maybe they
you've got that
gig, or they, you know, they just, you've got that stuff to each other, so we're kind of like,
the others make
gelled a little bit better.
You're lagging like a bitch, man, so I can't tell whether or not it's your internet or mine, but yeah, Yeah, I think as you've also got the advantage of managing it all in house. Do you know what I mean? So like writing the bars, making the beats yourself. Obviously, you got DJ to mix and master the project as well. You did a fucking amazing job on it. So having the autonomy to do everything start to finish yourselves, that must have really helped things along on the way, right?
I think you got to give Mick his props. I think like I might have like kickstarted his writing.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think you got to give Mick his props for making the beats, for like giving fucking Denz a kick up the ass to go and do the mastering, for editing two videos, for drive, you know, driving places, and you know, there's lots of things that I think, you know, obviously we're in a group, but I think that I think we both control the creative direction, but the lots of technical stuff falls down into Mick, so you have to give him props for that.
You know, 100%, man. I think you can tell that you're really on it with like the networking side of things and getting stuff done. And I guess by like forming the relationship and making an album, just like the two of you, obviously like bringing Everdenz in from kind of a technical perspective, it's really kind of really helps things along, because you're not like waiting on Rob, you know, waiting on an email from Rob for like months or something to send you a verse. You've already got that kind of rapport. Do you know what I mean? So help, and meaning you can smash out the music without relying on other people. So, which brings me on to my question.
Go on.
Part two. What's happening? Is there going to be another? Is this just a standalone project? Is there more in the pipeline from the Falcons? What's happening?
We're writing it now. We've written
any of the pipeline.
It's like, yeah, we've got about six tunes written. I've got six verses written, I think. And then I think you've got about the same, haven't you? And I think
we've got, I've got, I don't know how many exclusives to give
away. He's lagging hard. I've got to fill in for him. But no, we got like, I've done six-ish, Mick's done probably either six or seven, and there's one that is one we might have to both like catch up on. There you go, see, fucking gone now, isn't he? Look. Got to catch up on. But we've had another idea as well to do kind of like an EP, maybe to chuck it in there and make it interesting. But yeah, it's just one of them ones. We're just playing with ideas at the moment, because obviously we didn't intend to get this one right. We just kind of did it. So as much as we want to get the next one right, we're just trying to like do our thing with it and not force it too much. You know what I mean? Because if you force it, I think you kind of lose some of the magic with it.
And releasing music as independent artists is always going to be like a learning curve in terms of like the order in which you do things, like trickling music out, like a single, drop the full project. But I noticed that you dropped the project on Bandcamp and then a week later on all other platforms. So that's kind of a, you know, something that a lot of people are doing, I've noticed. Would you try anything different for the next time? Is there any advice you give to other people on how to do this? Because it seems that, you know, with the in times where the algorithm's just fucking everyone up, it seems to be harder and harder to get, you know, music heard, especially like the independent circuit. So what would you do anything different next time?
No, I'll probably do one more video. I'll do one more video to one more song off the album. That'd be one thing. I like the way the project is short and that holds people's attention, and it feels like there's a lot more than the time kind of, you know what I mean? There's a few tracks, there's a lot of tracks, but it's only 35 minutes long, so you're not going to bore people. So that's good. Cool. Yeah. There's many ways of doing it. It just depends how it hits. Like I've always said, like the way Bucks releases tunes is cool, because I like the way he does. He just kind of bangs things out and they go. And Mo's the same as well. Mosek's the same as well. He'll just kind of drop singles here and there. And that will just kind of happen. And people kind of get drawn to that. So, you know, there's no set way of doing it. But I think as a fan, I would always rely on streaming sites and being an armchair fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's important to kind of support artists, because the money isn't for weed, it's not for clothes, it's not for, it can be for rent, Like, it's not for anything stupid. It usually goes back on into the music so people can get shit mastered or pay for artists to do something or even pay for a feature for someone that's on the thing. So I think that...
I think
listeners, you know, support, I think. I'm not begging support. I'm just saying we're supportive of other people, so...
I guess ultimately it boils down to the product, right? The end result. So if you're making product that people want to fuck with, then they're going to be more inclined to support you. I know it does get political, and you know the scene unfortunately is quite clicky, as a lot of like, you know, kind of subcultures are. It's just kind of like but you know, if you're making a project like this one, you said you've already had better feedback than usual. I mean, I'll second that as well. I think out of the stuff you've made up to this point, this is easily the most palatable, entertaining, and just like, I don't know, aesthetically pleasing listen out of everything. That's just my opinion, you know, and I always give you kind of honest feedback on that.
I think that I think between me and Mick, we're quite like humorous people. We're funny, we bounce off each other quite well. Whereas I think that if, as a singular entity, you can kind of get caught up in your own personality. So maybe that's where our...
Yeah, exactly, man.
Not solo stuff falls short as such, but it kind of gets maybe too self-indulgent and self-involved, maybe. And it takes
away from our personality. I think as well, like, a lot of people kind of don't reach out for feedback as much as they should do. I've had a lot of people reach out for feedback, you know, and I'll give honest feedback, but not enough people do that, as opposed to making something, promoting it, and just being completely... And it's cool, do what you got to do. If you're an artist and you want to express yourself via your art and put it out there, that's fucking great, do it, you know, who am I to question you? But I think it's quite a good idea maybe to reach out to people you respect, whose opinions you respect, you know what I mean? Who you know is going to give you honest feedback and say, look, you know, we've just made this, what do you think of it? As opposed to, you know, I just fucking believe my own hype, I'm going to make it, and then get annoyed that no one's listening to it. I'm not talking about specifically, I'm just talking about that's...
I always ask for an opinion, who will give me the honest opinion, and that's Rayman will always give me an opinion. I always give my shit to him first, for him to look at. You know, he did the what was his thing? The Hombre, what was it? Chief Hombre, right? The reviews. Yeah. I always, because of that, and because of the relationship we've had, I ask him to listen to stuff. He hasn't heard, I haven't asked for a review on this though yet, but I always give it to him, and he always tell me the honest truth about all my solo stuff. So that's someone that I would always kind of trust their opinion on.
That's Ben, by the way. So that's Rain MC, who was on, he was the finalist on Shotgun the Buzz. And he's a great writer, that guy. Do you know what I mean? Great rapper, great writer. I chat to him quite a bit, and he's very kind of honest with his feedback. Do you know what I mean? But I think it is just a case of, as you say, maybe it helps that the two of you kind of bounce off each other. Do you know what I mean? And have each other to kind of say, you know, so you don't kind of, I don't know, become too self-indulgent maybe, but personality probably does come into it a lot.
Oh, I've just noticed there's a beef kicking off in the comments. What's going on here? Talking about wife.
People, come on.
On the road, like, I'm saying in the comments here, chill out, come on, sort it out. Fucking talking about our music, I don't care about none of you lot. We're talking about, right? Have your conversations with us. You got a question, ask a question, otherwise, shut up.
Yeah, let's get some questions.
All right. Cool. But shout out to everyone locked in, Jade, everybody, Glass Assist, everybody.
Shout out to everyone locking in all seriousness, because I mean, it's like, you know, it's good. Everyone's trying to like, support each other, but as I was going back to, you know, it's all in the product, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And you've made a good album. People are fucking with it. Mick, before you lost your internet, kicked you out, I was just saying to Rob, like, would you do anything differently for the kind of rollout of the next project? Have you learned anything from this time around? Like, what kind of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, really. I mean, to be honest, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing when it comes to putting stuff out, to promoting it. As far as me and Rob know, you do a video, you put a video out, and then you try and get people to watch it and listen to the album. So I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I think because the fucking scene's so small and it's so difficult to like get people to listen to it anyway. I kind of feel like we're just getting to a point where people are paying attention to what the two of us are doing in our solo stuff. So I think the only kind of thing that would be different would be just to like hammer as many shows as possible with the stuff from the first album and then bits from the second album. Mm-hmm. But hopefully if anybody knew who we were when we were playing gigs, they would get a bit excited about the new stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the only thing, like, in terms of kind of the songwriting and that kind of thing, is make more sing-along kind of hooky kind of things, so when we are playing live it's like a bit more of a show and that kind of thing, because we've got like two or three tracks that are really good when we play them live at the moment, but it would be quite good to I know Rob's got like a shitload of solo stuff as usual, like in the vault.
It's so silly.
Yeah. So once he's like all that out, I think I would probably, I don't know, just try and maybe concentrate on just doing like Falcon stuff.
Do you know, I enjoy doing the Falcon stuff much more. Like, it is, like, it's a lonely thing doing solo stuff. Like, you're kind of locked in and to yourself, doing your own shit. But when it's like a case of you're working collaboratively, like you're with someone doing something you like, so it's like you're part of a team, and so it's more enjoyable to do. So, and we've got, you know what I mean, I think we've connected with more people as a group than we have as solo people in the last, like, I don't know, 3 months, as opposed to
20 years.
30 years, because I'm super old.
Question from Pac-Man Scoop, any merch?
Oh, actually, yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, we're thinking about it. Like me and Mick were up late. Fucking this guy, look at this cracking whack. Of course it is. We're thinking about it last week, staying up late. Like, I was doing the t-shirt design and shit with the logo on it. The Canadian Dad designed. T-shirts would be cool. Like, to get them out there. Maybe a hat. Imagine a hat. I was thinking about that this morning. A hat.
A hat with a logo would be cool.
Yeah. I think people will cop the hats and that. As far as like physicals for the album, I'd love to. I'd love to be able to press 100 vinyl and then go, cool, bang, out. Or press 100 CDs and go, cool, bang, out. But life's not like that. And shit costs money. And people won't always buy it, and you can't always guarantee the return on your thing. So, yeah.
Have you not considered doing like a really, really limited pressing? Because obviously, I get it's not as cost effective, like the fewer you press. But have you considered doing it anyway, just to test the water?
I don't know. We've got children, haven't it?
Looking like, I mean,
yeah. What? So, shouts to Dan, Daniel's son. Yeah. Pre-order only on vinyl, because a lot of people are doing that, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, if you get enough interest, then you can gauge whether to do it or not. So, have you considered doing that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'd be well up for that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We ain't spoken about it, but I mean, it's something that's.
Well, fucking do it then.
It's possible. It's something that's possible. It's something that's possible.
I think the trouble is, right, me and Colson both got like a bunch of CDs printed for like Magnifique and a Spatter, and I've got so many left. And you're like, I don't know if I want to fucking do that again.
It's a bleak peek behind the curtain of UK hip-hop.
Yeah, G's house is like, he's got like furniture made out of CDs. <G's
house. laughs> My man's good for ashtrays right now.
Frisbees.
So we've got another question from Retro the Original. So I think this was from a little while back. Does anyone ever get sick of hearing their own voices to the room as well? So I'm does that mean in relation to doing these podcasts? Because I probably no, like read that a bit late. Or you're telling us all to shut the fuck up.
No, he's telling all the fucking cocksuckers in the comments to shut the fuck up. That's what
you're saying. No. I think it was around like when you're. I think it was when I asked you when you're listening to your own project. You know, purpose of kind of mastering and all of that stuff. Do you ever get kind of sick of listening to it, and would you prefer listening to other stuff?
No.
So
I need to listen to me because I need to remember my bars.
Yeah.
So that's key. So I don't get sick of listening to it, I don't think. But it's not something I listen to all the time. Like, we'll say we get a show, like, I don't know, in a month's time, and then probably a week before I listen to our music and then remember the bars and then we'll do the show. So it's not, I don't know. It's just music, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I've all the other albums, I remember Verb T saying it on the interview that you did with him, where he would take quite a while to, like, he'd finish an album, get it all mixed and stuff, and then we'd just listen to it for, like, 6 months to a year before putting it out, which is basically what we've done. Mm. And I normally do that with kind of the solo albums as well, just to make sure, like, there's nothing that I need to change or it's not like garbage, and you can kind of sit with it for a while. But I think this is the first album where I've done that, but I've kind of enjoyed listening to it. So I quite like all the little, like the podcast, like the, you know, the, those guys like talking, like what they say is just fucking stupid. So, like, every time I listen to it, it sounds more like they kind of sound like me, where they don't really know how to say a sentence, and it just it kind of makes me laugh. And like, I like all the samples and stuff like that. But yeah.
So I mean, if you do manage to shift some units, then maybe you could end up getting a would you think about forking out a bit of extra on or like a big feature for the next project? I know, like, that's quite a contentious topic, you know, features, and we spoke about this on, you know, in past podcasts, whether or not, you know, people over rely on features and that kind of thing, whether or not it can damage an album, or, you know, or it can, you know, hinder it, or it can kind of make it better. But if you were to have, if money wasn't an object and you could get a feature from anyone on the next Falcons project, who would it be?
I bet you can guess who I'm gonna say.
I know you're gonna say it.
You're gonna say it on the count of three? One, two, three?
No. That's so fucking, I ain't doing that. Go on.
Just put us out of our misery, mate. Come on, man. Who is it?
It's Sunny, mate. Sunny all day.
Okay. All right, okay.
Maybe you were gonna say that.
Attainable, you know, that's, it's Sunny Jim. I thought you were gonna go for, like, I don't know, like, someone in, like, the Griselda camp or something, but then...
Yeah, I heard...
It's always fucking subjective. Like, I don't know, do you want to put yourself next to those people? Is it a beg? Like, we've had this massive conversation, innit?
Yeah, we have. I think it is about that, innit? It's like, are you doing it for the right reasons organically, because it's going to, like, make it a better track, and it's going to, you're going to kind of complement each other, it works well, whether that be kind of like subject matter for Mac, thematically or whatever.
It's going to be more for you than it is.
Oh, I'm a shit rapper, so I need to overcompensate and put like fucking X name from America on my album. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but it's
gonna be, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's going to be more to you than it does to them at the end of the day. So I don't know. I would rather like keep it closer to home, because then if you do keep it closer to home and you make some good music, it may open the door for future collaborations or just a part of a network. You know what I mean? So it's working with people that are relative or in our relative space. You know, like, you know, talking to Verb or talking to Hooli or talking to, you know what I mean? Like talking to those types of people. So is it? I don't know. Money isn't really an object. If money wasn't an object, I'd fucking pay for fucking amazing masters, or I'd pay for like artwork that was super, do you know what I mean? That's the thing. Or I'd pay for fucking a shitload of merch that I could, like, that's more, or promotion,
marketing, all about marketing, brain stuff. Yeah,
that's what it is. The features, I don't know, we can get the features and still make the music, or we can, you know, stay closer to home with it. But like, yeah, money was an object. I'd spend it on something else, not the features.
I'll rate that answer, man. So before we wrap things up, keeping it short and sweet this evening, what's next for the Falcons? Obviously, you've got part two in the works. You've got some gigs coming up. You've kind of alluded to the idea of maybe getting some, you know, pre-saves on the vinyl down and some merch. Is there anything else that you want to plug?
What are you doing with your solo stuff, bro?
I've got like an album with, I've got fucking, this is too much. I've got like a Parky thing, me and Parky, this is, yeah, me and Parky have something in the locker. Me and Converse have something. We have an album as well. We made a really good song and we haven't done anything with it, which is really, this is fucking an absolute travesty. Yeah. And then I've got an album with Andre, he's done something. Me and him have done something which has Illaman on it. We've got Illaman on the track on there, mix on it as well.
I've heard it. You sent it over, that was sick, man.
Yeah, so that's that. But yeah, like, yeah, I love all my solo shit and I like that Andre album. But I'm leaning towards all the Falcon shit, to be honest, because it's more fun. It's less stress and it's more fun. Like, you go through your ups and downs, like, you know.
Jumpbox is the annual Mob EP. Don't forget about that as well. We talked about before. And the pastor says, if money wasn't an object, I'd invest in tech that could bring back ODB from the dead to punch it up zoo style.
Fucking hell. I wouldn't. You could get away with it in the 90s. I don't think you could get away with it. Oh, no, you could get away with it now. I think ODB would be the king of it now. He'd be rapping like a mumble rapper with auto-tune, and he'd sound fucking hard as fuck. He'd kill it. He'd bring out a complete new wave. But nah. So that's just that. My art stuff obviously is just going on still. So if anyone wants any art, just come and hit me up for any artwork. We can sort something out.
That on, Rob?
That's Doughboy Super on Instagram. All my stuff is on there.
Doughboy Super.
Yeah, you know, all of it's for sale. Commissions, a lot. Like, you just get stuck in album art, whether you want it for your mum or your house or something like that, whatever that is. It's there.
So the one you did with me and Rupert?
Yeah, you can, if you want.
Can you see that?
Yeah, I did that one. Yeah, that's kind of my old style one. Where's yours?
Apparently,
banger.
I even put this up yet, but that's another one.
Yeah. Cool, staircase to stage one.
Yeah man. Staircase to stage.
Yeah. I was thinking about that one the other day. I was thinking like, how much, because I've kind of, you evolve as an artist, and because I post so much and do so much, you can see how much I've changed. And like, obviously, like, shut up, Justin. I would like, yeah, you can see, like, I've gone through like expressionism stuff, and I've gone through like a bit, you know, abstract stuff. So there's lots on there just to kind of get stuck in and get involved with. It's all there. Do you know what I mean? You know, and it's versatile as well. I'm not just like, I can't stick to one style. I can do lots of different things. So.
Yeah,
I'm there, you know what I mean, it's there for people to enjoy, so yeah, but that's that. But yeah, that, other than that, no, that's it. Mick,
right, the Law Falcons until next time.
You didn't ask Mick what he's promoting. Come on, he's just done an album and party.
You just went as usual.
Attention to detail, produced by Parky, that's got sublingual Danielson, who's on that? Help me out, guys. Cosm's on that. Doc Terra's on that. And, oh no, someone else is on here.
Which album?
Attention to detail. Oh yeah, Oliver Rothstein from
sick, man.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I've got Magnifique, four beats by Farmer, five beats by Nicholas Craven, and then I've got a bunch of other stuff as well. Anthill Mob, with George Bucks.
Listen to the back catalogue for these guys. It's bound to be something you'd like. So, but yeah, in the meantime, go and bump Falconry because it is actually a fucking banging album. Yeah, it's really, really good. Big up, guys.
Thanks, man.
Looking forward to hearing the next one. But in the meantime, I'm just going to continue to bump it because I think people are too quick to move on to the next thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm just going to like take my time to digest a really good album. So even though you two might be bored of it, do you know what I mean?
We've been like
so digging it for some time. I'm going to continue to crank it up loud in the car. But anyway, it's been a pleasure, gents. Going to wrap things up now. Until next time, it's been Shotgun the Orcs. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to...
conversation in the comments.
Conversation. UK hip hop artists, it's mad, isn't it? God knows why I'm still doing this. Anyway, peace, guys. Speak soon.
Peace.